Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Hey, happy new year. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. It's a thrill to launch into this next year of our lives together. Well, the calendar year of our lives. And we do so on an amazing solemnity. Yes, this holy day of obligation, this solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Today on the program, I'm going to talk about resolutions, but not in the way that you expect. It's not about, first of all, about the resolutions that you'll make in this new year, but about God. Here's how I'm going to ask you to think about it. What is God resolved to do in your new year? What is God resolved to do in this calendar year? You get one chance to live this year. Only one chance. Just like you had one chance to live last year. And to have that in mind, what does it do? It raises the stakes. It raises what we call the dramatic aspect of our life of faith. That there's a quality of you're passing by. You don't want to miss the moment. And so today, I don't want us to miss the moment. So I'm going to reflect a bit on the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. I'm going to connect it to that theme of there's a lot at stake in what God has resolved to do and how we are called upon to say yes to that and be led and moved by the Holy Spirit with regards to making resolutions. Then I'm going to lean on the scriptures, but our tradition, especially St. Thomas Aquinas, on how to make a good New Year's resolution. So I am thrilled to dive into this program with you and get us launched in a fresh start, in a new way, in a new beginning. All that God has for us in this year, let's not leave any of it on the sidelines. Let's commit together to dive in and move forward. I'll get started in just a minute. Let's pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and in a very special way, we come before you as well through the beautiful, sweet, powerful intercession of our Blessed Mother, Mary, the Mother of God. Mother Mary, bring our prayer, bring us, bring our loved ones, bring our prayers to your Son, the only mediator with the Father, our one great intercessor before the Father. And Mother Mary, please, we ask for your beautiful, sweet intercession and your motherly mantle of protection over our lives and over this year. For we desire to live a life that is worthy in accord with the calling that we've received, but to do so with a Marian attitude, with an attitude that is like yours, that is open, fundamentally open and receptive, and also actively ready to respond. Give us the two-sided coin of your docility, the openness that is ready to receive and the active readiness to be moved in accord with the Spirit. And we make this prayer, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That little phrases that I used at the end there, it's a divine attitude, the fundamental openness and that sense of receptivity. That's a fundamental attitude in our life of faith, and it gets all the way traced back to the Trinity. And it's that idea of I'm ready to receive even my own identity. Like, look at that reality of who I am is traced back to a relationship. So the Father is open. He's open. He's receptive to this idea that his very identity comes in the very act of generating the Son. And the Son is open to receive his own generation from the Father, and he's actively ready to give himself back to the Father because his identity is the Son. I'll pause there. This isn't the Feast of the Trinity. We won't talk about that further. I'm going to dive into the way that this actually is associated with the Blessed Mother. So what's today's Holy Day of Obligation? This is the one I would say that most Catholics probably couldn't identify. Like, what is it? Is this a holy day? And this is a holy day for what feast? The other ones are pretty obvious for the most part. But if you think about it, there are so many feast days on the church's calendar that are connected to the Blessed Mother, right? So there's the other Holy Day of Obligation, the Immaculate Conception, right? So that's one. Of course, we then if we track through her life, let's just do it that way. Start with the Immaculate Conception. We have the birthday of Mary, September the 8th. We have the presentation in the temple of February the 2nd. We have the Annunciation, March the 25th. Of course, we have Christmas, December the 25th, the Feast of the Holy Family, the Sunday after Christmas. The Queenship of Mary, August the 22nd. And I skipped over the Assumption. The Assumption of the Blessed Mother on August the 15th. Again, a holy day of obligation. And then the Queenship of Mary. Oh, in addition to that, we have what? We have various feasts associated with apparitions of the Blessed Mother. So Guadalupe, Lourdes, Fatima, etc. So the Blessed Mother appears in so many different, I'm going to use this phrase now, facets, right? Just like I talked about these 13 attributes of God, there are attributes of the Blessed Mother or facets of the Blessed Mother's life that shine forth in a particular way on different feasts. And so it would be good to ask, well, what's the, like, for instance, on the, I won't get into it. So we should ask, what is the particular insight that the church is highlighting by identifying today as a holy day of obligation and doing so by identifying the Blessed Mother as the Mother of God? So, well, first of all, it's the end of the octave of Christmas, right? So the Feast of Christmas, like Easter, lasts 8 days. It does begin on the 25th, of course, but then it's such a big reality. It's such a big event. It overflows a day in terms of its capacity to contain all that we as a church long to express in our own praise and worship. And so through the octave of Christmas, we now reach this this eighth day. So a week later than the eighth day, here we have January the 1st. Well, what's going on? Well, it's focused on Mary as mother, and not just mother, but who it is that she gave birth to. I'm going to give you a quote from John Paul II, and this will help us focus in on this incredible facet of the feast. Never in human history did so much depend on the assent of a human being as in Mary's yes at the incarnation, at the conception of Jesus in her womb. Never in human history did so much depend on the assent of a human being as in Mary's yes. And I highlighted that just a little bit recently when I was talking about the fact that the Blessed Mother is a model for us. And by her yes, she became a cause of salvation. Why? Because she became the open door through which God himself became man, by which the Messiah entered into human history. And so the Lord awaited her yes. And today, what we're focusing on was the meaning of that yes, that her yes made space. She had this, again, this radical openness and receptivity, this capacity to receive what it was the Lord intended for her life. She didn't come to the Lord with her plans. I would love to give birth to the Messiah. And if that Messiah happened to be divine, I'm in. That is not how it happened. It wasn't because of her initiative. She, however, and this is how the Annunciation is often portrayed in art, is in prayer. She has a prayerful spirit, a prayerful attitude, or a fundamental openness to the Lord to come and to bring and to speak and to do with her whatever he wills in accord with his plan. So that first attitude is that fundamental openness, that capacity to receive. And then get ready now, not just to receive, but to be received into That's the active readiness that I prayed for at the beginning. That's a beautiful two-sided coin. It's a coin with two sides. The contemplative radical openness to receive, and the other side of the coin is the active readiness to be led. The active readiness to be led into or to be received into. And that is worth pondering. That reality of the Blessed Mother's docility, that radical docility to the work of the Holy Spirit. She was open and she was ready. Brothers and sisters, if we could pray for an attitude for this year in our lives, how about that? Let's pray for that radical docility to the Holy Spirit, where we too are open this openness, this receptivity, but this act of readiness to then be led forth. That's actually the entire flow of the life of faith. The church, as the bride of Christ, shares in that. This is what we call the Marian attitude, the Marian docility that is receptive and ready. Receptive and ready. So in prayer, how receptive are we to what the Lord would have us do? How ready are we to correspond to that in our lives? So we see this happening in the Mother of God, in the Blessed Mother, that she was so open and so ready that she was ready to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit to make herself completely available to receive in her womb the Son of God, to become the Son of Mary, and to be born into this world. And so today, that's the feast that we celebrate, that the one to whom she gave birth, the one to whom she was, as in her own radical docility, she was receptive and ready to be led by the Holy Spirit, was to give birth to the Word of God into this world, to give birth to the Son of God into this world, and as such, as well, to be the Son of Mary. The Son of God is the Son of Mary, and therefore we can legitimately and appropriately and gloriously proclaim that Mary is not simply the mother of a human being who was a great prophet and preacher and offered his life up for the sake of others. No, the one that she gave birth to was the Son of the Most High God, and therefore it's appropriate for her to be called the Mother of God. And you know what? It's there's also a kind of a spirituality around this, right? It's like you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ, but there's also a way that we are connected in our common humanity. And it's not just, oh, we're all created by God to have a common humanity, common human nature. Well, no, if you follow the family tree, the lineage of human history, it all gets traced back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve are the parents of all human beings in one way, right? There's a historical line all the way back to Adam and Eve. So I may not reach you in the family lineage of the family tree of history in history. We might have to go back a lot of generations before there's a branch that connects you and me. But eventually we'll get there. There's a connection. Well, guess what? The same is true with Jesus. There's a way in which you share you share a connection with Jesus through your human nature. Well, where do you go back in history to get to that connection? Well, there's only one way in. There's only one way to a connection to the human nature of Jesus in the family tree of history, and that's through Mary. So through Mary, we all come into contact with the human nature of Christ. Now, that all gets elevated, that gets escalated in the realm of grace and the supernatural realm through baptism. Through baptism, we are a new creation. We share in the very body of Christ. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. And through Christ, we can approach God as Father. But that only happens, again, because of Mary's yes. Never in human history did so much depend on the assent of a new human, on the assent of a human being as in Mary's yes, St. John Paul II. So, at the beginning of this new year, what can we do? The beginning of this new year, we have a fresh start. We have a new beginning. And it's not an ordinary day, right? We certainly sense that in the church's calendar, but we can also sense that with regards to the actual calendar of January 1st. That means it becomes a special opportunity for us to maybe make a resolution to do something different. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. I'm excited to do so. We'll be back. Radical docility and active readiness. That's my prayer for you and for me as we enter into this new year and for our today. So today is a very natural time where so many folks are making New Year's resolutions. Yes, indeed. It's very common, right? I was at the gym yesterday and it was packed. I'm like, wow, I've never seen it so packed. It was just like, holy cow, this is like five times as many people here. So people are getting a jump start on, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get in better shape. I'm going to become more disciplined. I'm going to shift around my life to get into a better spot. That's what I'm going to do. And not a bad thing. Well, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to find a launching pad date that makes sense, to be able to say, yeah, I'm going to be able to use this as an anniversary hook, as something to hang my hat on and say, I launched into this. So we all get that. Making and keeping resolutions, a good thing. However, something that I've found so very helpful, and I hope and pray that this is a blessing to you, is that you can approach resolutions in this new year differently than maybe you have considered it before. And it's by reversing the perspective. I'm not going to focus first on what I decide and determine and think about are the most important things for me to be resolved to do in this year. But instead, I'm going to turn to the Lord and I'm going to be what? Docile. That Marian attitude. I'm going to be open to receive a communication from the Lord about resolutions, about what I ought to be resolved to do. Oh, what should I be actively ready to do? Well, I should be actively ready to move my life, to take actions in accord with what God has willed, is willing, will desire for my life right now. That is the reversal. Let the concept of resolution be traced back, first of all, to the heart of God, to the mind of God. The Lord has willed you to be alive right now in history. Remember now, in all those attributes, he's not caught off guard, he's with you, he sees you, he's approaching you, he's knocking on the door of your life, you can trust him, he wants to move in your life. So for all of those reasons, open your life to the Lord and say, Lord, please show me, reveal to me, what is your will for my right now? What is your will for my new year that we're launching into so that I can say yes? And so in fact, here's the receptive attitude. Lord, I say yes in advance. I say yes in advance to what you're asking of me. Lord, I just want to know what your will is, and I'm actively ready to pursue that. That's what I will do. So here's the question, right? It's like there's a grace involved in this year. There's a beautiful, powerful grace that the Lord has and is making available to you in your life for this year. And the question is, are you open to receive it? Are you open to receive what the Lord is prompting? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Lord, what are you resolved to do in my life? Now is the day of salvation. Brothers and sisters, I beg you, St. Paul says, I beg you, do not receive the grace of God in vain. For now is an acceptable time. Now is a day of salvation. So what does the Lord will for you? A day of salvation. This is an acceptable time. This is a moment of grace. He's going to pour into you something fresh and new. He might bring a whole new levels of freedom, of peace, of joy. He might astonish you. He might have you say farewell to things and have you welcome other things into your life. You might want to bear more fruit in your life, a greater sense of fertility, of fertile soil in your lives. Who knows what the Lord has for you? Well, that's not say, if I take that away from a rhetorical question and I make it an actual question, who knows what the Lord has for me? The Lord does. Okay, so now's the question. Lord, how do I come to know? I don't want to miss out what's on stake. I don't want to receive the grace of God in vain. I don't want to live this calendar year in a way that doesn't correspond to what you willed for me in this year of my life from all eternity. Holy cow, there's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake. You get one chance to live this year in accord with God's plan. And so there's a, now that sounds really kind of mystical and all spiritually dramatic and all that. Now I'm going to kind of land the plane in something that's very practical. And that is, how do we discover, what's the conduit, what's the vehicle that the Lord uses or could use to communicate what it is he's resolved to do in our lives? Well, for years, I would be praying in the days and weeks leading up to the new year. And I would be specifically praying, asking, seeking, knocking, Lord, please give me the ears to hear a word from you for this upcoming calendar year. Lord, what is your will for my 2005? What is your will for my 2012? What is your will for my 2018, right now in this year? And I've done that for, again, more than 20 years, 25 years. And it has been such a blessing because if I'm in that position to listen, remember now, the Lord, it's not like he's hiding his will from us. If we put ourselves in a place of listening and we truly seek to remove any obstacles to that listening, and we're practicing in prayer a spirit that is receptive and open to hear from the Lord, like reading the scriptures and journaling and going to mass and going to adoration and praying in these modes of that are open to let the Lord be taking that initiative to communicate to us, meditation, spiritual reading, right? All of these different ways that are refining and maturing that muscle of discerning and listening to the Lord, then when we do get that scripture or we get that word, it's something that we can walk with through the year. And I have found that meaning of the word tends to unfold over the course of the year, the course of the calendar year. Some years are more powerful than others. Some years the word or the phrase are more meaningful than others. But when it became time for us to introduce this concept to our kiddos, we had to choose a method that was, frankly, a little bit more practical, a little bit more easy to understand by my kids, because this is something that we did with our kids, I don't know, for at least 10 years. We just did it last night with our kiddos, and that's what I'm going to be sharing with you. And we ended up eventually discovering Jen Fulweiler. She's a Catholic. I think she's mostly doing comedy now. And I think it's sort of clean comedy. I don't know how much it's focused on sort of Catholic faith stuff. But she was a blogger and that was gaining a lot of attention maybe 10 years ago. So she somehow stumbled into this this idea of, hey, seek out a word of the year, seek out a saint to walk with you through the year as an intercessor, and trust that the Lord is going to work with that. Trust that the Lord will work with something as a random word generator and a random saint generator, that the Lord will, he's big enough to work with the little bit of loaves and fish we give him, okay? So just consider the word generator activity as like the loaves and fish. The Lord can feed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves, right, that you can bring him. So that's what we're doing. And so last night we did this. And so we took the Jen Fulweiler. First, we did a word of the year, and then we went around did a saint for the year. And Kerry wrote them all down. And that's what we do every year, write them down. And then we walk with that. And so I'll tell you the words we got for this year, but I want to just give you a quick highlight on our check-in for last year. Like, was it worth it? Was it powerful? Was it impactful? Why would we do this? And I have to say, there were mixed results, for sure. where several of the kids didn't really take the words to heart. You know, they said, well, I did it early on, or I did it for a season when I was at school during the spring semester, or it meant more to me over the summer. For a couple, it was like I kind of forgot what my word was, or I just am kind of remembering what the word was, and it didn't really mean much to me. And so we tried to go back and maybe connect the word to something that actually happened to them in the course of the year to see if that was maybe a meaningful connection. So, you know, there are ways in which, yeah, this isn't a guarantee. Just like, oh, for instance, Carrie's word was fertility. Now, she's not going to get pregnant unless we're talking about like an Elizabeth or a, you know, Sarah situation. But that's not that she's beyond that age. And so, but the word was fertility. So she's like, well, fertile soil. Okay, Lord, do I have fertile soil, or is there where's the fertile soil in my life? What are the seeds that you want to sow in my life? What part of what relationships are you wanting to bear more fruit? And so that became the source of her prayer and reflection. She said she would often pray about it at Mass. She'd pray like, Lord, I want to be open to, I want to be fertile soil for you, and Lord, I want to bear more fruit in. What are those situations and those relationships, those parts of my life where that's holding me back? So for her, that was very powerful. And again, I love to have a witness, right? Part of what we are going to do to help literally sow seeds of faith in our kids' lives is not simply perform actions that are prayers, even Catholic prayers, right? But we should do that. And even teach them Catholic stuff at home, which we do, and yes, we should do that. But it's giving a testimony. It's giving a living testimony of how the Lord is the living God who reaches out and makes contact with our lives. He knocks on the door of our today. How that same living God communicates to us, and we enter into a listening and speaking with the Lord heart to heart, and then we commune with the Lord in prayer. Right? So just that simple flow. But one of the most powerful ways to make that truth come alive for our kids is by a testimony, by sharing with them how the living God has living contact with my life and how the things that I was doing in my life were in fact traced back to the initiative of the Lord, and that I needed to be, again, docile in a Marian way, open to receive and ready actively to take action on what the Lord was asking. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about my word for 2025, which I've told you about, just give you a quick summary of how I saw the Lord work with me through it, and then talk about this word for this year, and then go to Thomas Aquinas. Welcome back to the program. It's great to be with you today. Again, Happy New Year. Happy Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Maybe this will be a year for you to have increased devotion to the Blessed Mother. Discover in her the model and the mother who will nurture in you that fundamental Marian attitude of radical docility, where I'm open and receptive to whatever it is the Lord would do. I would live that fundamental openness, and I'm actively ready to then be led and to move with vigor in accord with what He has for me. So for me, when I discerned last year, okay, what's the word I discerned? No, did the word generator, it was farewell. And so at first it was a joke. Oh, Dad's going to die. Dad's going to die this year. And I'm like, well, I could. I don't sense that I'm going to die, but I need to take on the potential that this could be the farewell year of my life. But it was quickly a matter for me to discern, oh, farewell. What does farewell mean? It means saying goodbye to some stuff. So, Lord, what are the things I'm supposed to say goodbye to? And honestly, it came from two things. Me reflecting on the moment of death, and reflecting on the other traditional way of understanding the word farewell. And the traditional way of understanding the word farewell, which we consider one word, is that it's actually two words. When you're saying, like, is goodbye one word or two words? Well, it's one word, goodbye. Yeah, but it's actually two. It's goodbye. And same is true for farewell. We think of farewell as one word, but it's actually two words. Farewell. Farewell. I was reading The Lord of the Rings, the trilogy. It was my spiritual reading, popcorn, enjoyable, life-giving, amazing. When I was sick, it was what I could read, and I found it super inspiring again. But in part of it, Aragorn is leaving someone's presence, and I think he's like leaving the kings to go on the paths of the dead and the return of the king, and he's leaving the Rohan, that field, and he says farewell. And he uses, it's two words. And I just had to smile at that. Because fair comes from a Latin root that means to do or to make. So farewell can mean as you're waving goodbye, you're saying, may you go do good. Or may you make well. Make good and do well. Right? Farewell is, it can be go do well in your life, may you be blessed and do well, or may you go make good with your life. And all of a sudden, it got me reflecting and thinking very intentionally, consciously, about, am I making good with the time that the Lord has given me to live this one life that I'm living? Am I doing well in the time that I've lived? And whatever else happens, I want to do well with the time that remains. And so this connects to that other idea of the moment of death. And in that moment of death, where we all will say farewell to this world, to life and time, to our loved ones here on earth, and we want it to have that moment to be something that is well prepared for, right? Not caught off guard. But in that moment of death, we will face the Lord in judgment. And I've been doing a lot of like listening to talks and pondering this about the moment of death. And in it, you know, the tradition is, right, we don't know for sure, but the tradition is, and this, a lot of this comes from not just theological speculation, but the lives of saints who have come back and sort of reported their insights into judgment in the moment of death and coming face to face with the Lord, with Jesus, at our death. And I've been listening to talks specifically by Padre Pio, about Padre Pio, who had a tremendous number of interactions with souls at their moment of death. And the insight that came out of it was that the full truth of your life becomes brought out into the open. Who God intended you to be? What God intended you to do? Did you do well? Did you make good with the life you had? Well, the Lord's going to show you. He will reveal at your judgment what he intended you to do and who he intended you to become. That's your mission. That's your call to be a saint. And that's all of us. We're called to be saints, living out our one God-given mission. Who you're called to be is a saint. How you call, what you're called to do is your God-given mission. And so I have taken so seriously in 2025 this theme of saying, Lord, I beg you to have my life correspond more fully with what it is you will for me. I beg you, Lord, help me to have my life conform more fully with the very reason why you put me here on earth. And what I intend to do, Lord, and I'm saying yes in advance, I'm open, I'm receptive, I'm docile, and I want to be actively ready to take action, is I say yes in advance to what it is you reveal to me, I should say farewell to. What should I say farewell to? Say goodbye to. In order to farewell, in order to do the good that you would have me do, and in order to become the saint you would want me to be. So I'm going to say farewell, I'm going to put some things behind me in order to say yes to be able to move forward to the things that, Lord, you have that are meant to be in front of me. Makes sense? By the way, this is, you can do this. This is for you too. So the word farewell, it was, in fact, who knows? Maybe one of the reasons the Lord gave me this word farewell for last year was so that I'd be talking about it and you'd hear it right now. So that you would hear this and say, oh my goodness, that is speaking to me. There are things in my life I need to say farewell to. I need to let go of. I need to surrender. I need to put behind me. And there are other things I need to be open to be stepping into. So what did that mean for our lives? Well, you all know we moved from Spokane to Boise, Treasure Valley area here. And we didn't leave because we hated the Spokane Valley area. We moved there because that's what the Lord had for us at that time in our lives in 2019. And there were things happening that as we paid attention to them and we started to discern, Carrie and I, well, how are we going to address some of these challenges we're facing around schooling and how our kids are flourishing or not and how they could flourish in the schools that we're in? And then looking at the impacts of how are you, Carrie, flourishing? How am I flourishing with regards to like just some of the basic physical aspects of our lives? It's very cold there and very snowy, and some love it. They love the snow and the skiing and all that the winter makes available. Well, we were discerning, wait a minute, we're at a stage in life where having a climate that is a bit warmer and sunnier would be something that we would be blessed by. And then there was the sense of, okay, how do we want to set ourselves up to be in a situation that would be more attractive to our kids, our older kids who are college age and beyond, regarding the idea that they may want to be drawn to live around where we're living? And so we found that there wasn't a lot of desire or magnetic pull for them to go to the Spokane area where they didn't have a lot of roots. Again, when we had moved here, they were in high school and beyond. And so there wasn't a sense of deep connection there that was strong enough for them to say, this is where I want to raise my family. So it's like, oh, let's move to an environment that maybe has a bit more of that attractiveness and potential for them to be able to say, yes, this can be the place where I would want to settle, get married, or as a married person and maybe with some kids, say, yes, this could be a really beautiful place to flourish. Okay? So those are a number of the dimensions. However, farewell took on a much deeper meaning for me. And I'll share this openly with you because it's a challenge that I think a lot of people who are hitting middle age and are approaching the retirement stage ought to be paying attention to and maybe struggle with. And so for me, it had two dimensions. The first was my health, and the second was how I used my time, specifically related to work versus mission. And by the way, many laity are called to live out their mission through their work, right? Through their jobs, not by doing churchy stuff. Okay. But let's start with the health part. For me, regarding my health, you've heard my journey for how many years I have struggled up and down the yo-yo kind of pick the healthy eating plan. And I've tried it. I've learned the language. It's not a diet. And I have the best excuses ever for why it worked and then it failed. It worked, then it failed. I'm full of them, full of great excuses. And I'm like, okay, this cannot continue. If I'm going to be healthier and healthful enough to have a long enough life to do the things I feel called to do as a husband, as a father, hopefully someday as a grandfather, and in regards to my own sense of mission in terms of the work of ministry. And I know thyself. I knew I needed more time and I needed less stress to be able to have a greater likelihood of success. And so in the first handful of months of our living here, I took some significant actions to say, I'm going to make front and center the goal of saying farewell to bad eating habits and poor exercise habits and find the right way to keep eating part of my life and to keep exercise or to introduce a better form of exercise into my life. And also to be open and humble enough to learn, various new biohacking types of things that can enhance what used to be just eat right and exercise. No, there's so much more to be learned and gained from the contemporary world of longevity and healthy lifestyle that I should benefit from. And so that has been one major thread of my journey since we moved here in early July. The second was around my work. And around my work, it was the willingness to surrender putting the majority of my time into activity that had as a goal the making of money to provide for my family. And to shift to, Lord, I'm going to entrust the provision of what my family needs into your hands and in what I've done up to this point in my life. And I'm going to go all in on serving you, on writing books, and in bringing the messages that I feel most prompted to bring, that I need to bring out into the open as part of my doing good and making good and doing well at this age and stage of my life. I needed to say farewell to that kind of work, to introduce into my life more fully the work of ministry, the work of pouring out so that you, my brothers and sisters, would be blessed. That's what farewell meant to me. That's what I shared with my kids. Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. All right. So I just want to finish that one point because I said it kind of quickly. If you're newer, my program's only been heard on Salt and Light Radio here for a month now. Oh, 1 month anniversary. Ta-da. And so you don't know me as well. I've been walking in the world of the nonprofit lifestyle where I have basically in my life said, I'm going to serve the Lord with my primary work and passion. But as I need to, I'm going to also take on work outside of a ministry setting, like St. Paul built tents so that he could offer the gospel free of charge. So I did corporate consulting and executive coaching for over 20 years. And then when I moved to Spokane, took up the work of real estate to help walk with families who were trying to leave situations that were not life-giving for their families and to help them make a move, which involved, guess what, strategy consulting and executive coaching. So I used all that I had learned in that other setting and brought it into real estate for the benefit of families of faith primarily, but also other families that I would end up serving in real estate. So now making the shift down to here, it's like, okay, I've trusted you, Lord, and you have always been incredibly generous to me, and I share about God the Father's shocking generosity to my life, but it also has meant working really hard, right? So that openness, right, that radical docility that says, I'm open to receive, Lord, what it is you're asking of me, but I've got that active readiness to bust my butt. I'm going to work as hard as I need to be able to correspond to what the Lord is asking of me. So it's always been like this blend of saying, Lord, you will provide for us in a nonprofit format. We'll get the donations we need, and we'll also work hard to be able to sell resources and things like that. And then I'll complement that with the principal source of income coming from the consulting work or the real estate work. Well, it's a bit of a change now, as I'm now 61 years old, and I'm like, all right, Lord, you have been a faithful God to me throughout my adult life, starting in church work in 1989, and now here I am 36 years later, and I'm like, Lord, I trust you, and I'm going to trust you at a whole new level, right? I still have 4 college tuitions that we just reviewed with our kids yesterday, 2 kiddos beyond college that still need occasional support, and 3 classical school tuitions to pay. All right, Lord. Remember I said, one of the attributes of God is, Lord, are you paying attention? You're not caught off guard, right? So I've lived my life, my whole adult life in 31 years married to Carrie. I'll do what I need to do. The Lord's going to provide. And if I have to work really hard, I'll do that. But now I'm like, honey, now we're going to trust at a whole new level. We're going to trust at a whole new level that as we serve the Lord in this in more enhanced way, not doing things that are naturally going to bring in more income, we're going to trust, Lord, that you got us covered, that the way that we've set up our lives, you've got us covered, right? You've got us covered. So that's all I'll share. I don't have to share more about our sort of financial life, but I just wanted you to know that following the Lord and following the Lord today, it's going to require, it's one of my mantras that's going to show up in my my first book, is that half measures won't accomplish it. The business as usual Christianity is almost, it's a statistically very high likelihood that faith will be lost if all we do is what we've been doing. If we keep doing what we're doing, the number of people in churches will continue to diminish. The number of vocations will diminish. The priests will get older. The impact of the faith on culture will diminish. But it takes a courageous effort, right? It takes an all-in effort. It takes an effort that involves the sense of saying, "There's no half measures here, Lord. I'm willing to put in an extraordinary effort so that my kids can live an ordinary life of faith." And whatever level of prayer, sacrifice, penance, I'm in, right? So with that said, we're now in this fresh start new year. Okay, here we are. That was my word for last year. So this year we gathered around, I said a prayer, and then we passed around the word generator, the saint generator. I'll just share with you just for today real quickly that the word I got for this year is freedom. And immediately it resonated with me. I won't share much more about that now because I want to focus on you and helping you to really be blessed by this idea that you're at a fresh start. You're at a new beginning. And so that Jen Fulweiler, you could just look it up, Jen Fulweiler, word generator, word of the year generator, saint of the year generator, you'll get to it. You'll get to the website easily enough. Super simple. But what can that do? It can help us with the idea that, Lord, I'm not just like trying to force you to speak to me through this word, but I trust, Lord, that you're involved in the details of my life, even in something like using a word generator as a source of insight into what it is you would have for me. And so, Lord, I bring you two fish and five loaves. No, I bring you this little word generator and I just say, Lord, use it. I just pray a prayer blessing. Lord, use it. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then let's see what shows up. And so if you want to do a different way, please do that. We did this because it involves our kids. And so having a bunch of kiddos, it becomes a practical tool for us to do this. We'll enhance it. We'll go beyond it, but it's a great way to start. And it's a way of saying, Lord, what are you resolved to do in my life? You are resolved to go to Jerusalem. What are you resolved to do in my life in this year? I say yes to it. Okay? Now, let's talk about the idea that we're going to make resolutions. So if you're making resolutions for this year, if you're moving forward to say, I'm resolved to do, Lord, whatever you're resolved to do in my life. In fact, one way to do that is maybe you look outside. Again, outside yourself. And what, there's an Exodus 90 program that's beginning, I think, in like 3 days. 3 or 4 days, that 90 days will take you all the way to Easter. Now that is long, right? Because you get 50 days before Ash Wednesday, and then it's not exactly like that, but you get the idea. It's going to be 90 days to Easter. And so that's a program that you could follow. I don't have to just figure out all my resolutions on my own. I can look outside to the program itself to say, what would that program bring to my life as activities that I could take on? Okay. However, authentic action, and I use that word intentionally. It's a John Paul II word. Authentic action begins in the intention. You see, John Paul II, when he talks about human action, he contrasts it with mere human activity. That mere human activity, things we do, right? Things we do, we can do in a way that is somewhat like unconscious, somewhat spontaneous, somewhat just sort of like going through the motions. But if we want to accomplish authentic human action, if we want to act in a way that is going to bring about a realization of our lives, where we become, where we're determining the direction of our lives in accord with what is good and true and beautiful, that the things we do purposefully, deliberately and consciously. It's purposeful, deliberate, and conscious. That's John Paul II. Now, he's building off of Thomas Aquinas. He's building off of Thomas Aquinas. And the insight is this. The insight is that if you're going to show up authentically in your action externally in the world that's right around you, it'll begin in your mind. Aquinas says in the first book of the Summa Theologica, part one of the Summa, he has quite a bit of quite a number of questions on human action. And what he says is authentic human action begins in the intention, in the mind, where we interiorly set a goal. And so when I set a goal on the inside, and I can picture what that goal, so this is, I'm not going to use my language, a vision. We have a vision of that future state that we want to head towards. And that future state that we're heading towards can be identified in specific ways. Like if you think about, I want to weigh a certain amount. Well, it's not just the weight, it's how I look. So I can envision how I want to look. Maybe I want to be able to fit into certain clothing, or I want to see myself in a certain way. Again, this is about health now, right? I'm not saying you're going to become a bodybuilder. But I am saying you want to get healthier, you want to lose some weight and be more fit. You can imagine, you get that vision of that, and then you have some goals associated with it. Well, I'll be weighing this amount. I'll have this level of muscle mass, this level of fat loss or fat, whatever, right? All those different metrics. You can come up with all those goals, and then you will tend towards what you intend. The intention is what you will tend towards in your mind. And what Aquinas says is, what begins in the mind will then become manifest in your bodies, in your life, how you're actually acting. So if you want to act well in the world, you better have a clear intention. So that's why making resolutions has so much power in the world. And that's why so many people will join gyms in January 1st or take on other things that it's a new me, is they have this vision. And they may set some goals associated with it. And they are, they're going to just run after them. Now, Aquinas is going to say, well, you have to be purposeful and deliberate and conscious. So it's not just quick visionary activity. No, have it be purposeful. Like, what's the meaning of this? Why is that important to me? Reflect on that. And deliberate means, okay, I'm going to take actions that with my will to correspond to what's happening in my mind. So if I'm intending this with my mind, I'm going to will actions that are connected to getting to that end. And this is where Aquinas says, look, you will not be able to achieve the end without a proper choice of the means to the end. Another way of saying it is, you don't appropriately will the end without willing the means to the end. So to will the end means to say, yes, that's my goal. That's my vision. And willing the means to the end is, okay, this is where I'm at. That's where I want to go. What's the path I'm going to take that's going to get me there? What combination of eating, exercise, biohacking activities that I'm going to do that are going to get me from here to there? Who am I going to do it with? How am I going to bring it out into the open? How am I going to manage and monitor it? How does it get turned into a plan that I can then be deliberate day to day to live it out? So what's so fascinating is we have all these books, all these websites, all these articles, all these videos, all these podcasts that are going to tell you about how to make resolutions, how to set a goal. And there's some really good ones out there on setting goals and achieving them. So much brilliance is already simply in our Catholic tradition in St. Thomas Aquinas and the Summa Theologica. So, all right, I'm up against the end of my program. Happy day one in this one chance you get to live this new year. Be open to the Lord's resolution for your year. Be open to receive it, say yes to it, and actively ready to run with it, and to do so consciously, deliberately, and purposefully. God bless.